I think we waved at each other at some point during the circus last week, but good to actually have a chance to talk to you for a few minutes.
Yes, Chris, good to talk to you. It was for the circus, though. It was rather tame, wouldn't you say? There was no real news that came out. Most of the really impactful stuff, as far as the SEC is concerned, like the schedule rotation going forward, that all came out before Destin or at Destin. So all the autonomy stuff, Mike Slavitt already talked about that in Destin. So it was a whole lot of people talking about, really about the fact that we can't wait till we can stop talking and watch the actual game.
Yeah, it was still a circus as usual. The difference is none of the animals got loose. That's where you have really things out of control, and nothing too bad.
And it was all televised live on one of the ESPN platforms.
Yes, it was all televised live there, Kevin. And then they turn around and basically do it all over again, strictly with ESPN, on Monday and Tuesday. How about that?
Chris, I don't know about you, but I'm having a hard time seeing where the SEC stops and ESPN begins, or vice versa.
They're clearly
fully in bed together, and if anyone across the country already had SEC overload, they might want to move to Liechtenstein, because it's not going to get any better with the SEC network coming online.
In that regard, with what you just talked about, is that the heart of Bob Stoops' complaint and comments about Bama and the SEC?
I think you're onto something. I don't think Bob Stoops is the only coach who feels that way across the country. I think he's one of the few who's willing to voice that opinion. I think, not just coaches, I think administrators, players, commissioners, athletic directors, coaches, I think a whole lot of them are just sick and tired of the SEC. They're sick and tired of the SEC winning national championships, and obviously that streak came to an end last year when Florida State beat Auburn, but the SEC was still in the game, and I think they realize you're going to see at least one SEC team in the 14 playoff. That's why you see so much lobbying from leagues like the Big 12. You know, they have a nice shiny new slogan this year, one true champion, because they're the only Big 5 conference in which everybody plays everybody else. Of course, they can do that. They only have 10 teams, so they play everyone else in a 9-game league schedule, but they don't have the conference championship game. So there is, more than ever, there's SEC blowback, there's anti-SEC bias, and Bob Stoops, at least give him credit. Not only is he sick and tired of it, and he voices that verbally, but he actually went out and did something about it in the Sugar Bowl.
That he did, and we're talking with Kevin Skarbinski, AL.com. I made the statement last segment that I can't give you a specific example, but if you were to go back and read the transcripts of all of Oklahoma's locker room comments after the Sugar Bowl, you would have found somebody, at least one player, that said, we wanted it more than they did. Because that's kind of a staple answer for a team that wins, especially a big ball game. Okay? Is that not, in essence, what Nick Saban is saying, even though he's not condoning it for his team? Isn't that basically what he and a lot of people were saying all along for Alabama?
I think common sense will tell you that as well, Chris. And look, it's not – I know Oklahoma and Bob Stoops, they take it as an insult. Clearly, Alabama wanted to win the game. Clearly, they didn't go out there and just roll over, as Stoops pointed out on Alabama's first drive. You know, that they were there to try to win the game. But it is impossible to not have your heart cut out when you lose the Iron Bowl, first of all, bottom line, when you lose it the way it ended, when you not only lose that game if you're Alabama, but you lose your opportunity at making history and completing a three-peat. And I don't care how good Kevin Elko is in getting into people's heads and getting their minds right. I don't care how good Scott Cochran is at getting people's minds right. I don't care how good Nick Saban is. You cannot tell me that those guys' hearts weren't cut out, given everything that they lost on one play at the end of the Iron Bowl. And so to turn around and play Oklahoma, yes, they wanted to win. I'm sure they worked hard in preparation. I know the coaches worked hard in preparation. But it is inevitable that game was a consolation game for Alabama, or as I said in my column yesterday, an exhibition game. Alabama, it didn't mean the world to them the way they had been playing for games that meant the world for 3 or 4 years. So that I don't know why everyone, you know, outside of Alabama fans and some of us commentators seem to understand that. I don't. It's just human nature. But for some people, have trouble grasping that.
Take Alabama out of the equation, Kevin. Was what happened for Oklahoma in that ball game, really, we'll go back to their last two games. Is that a signal that the Sooners are back, or is the fact that that game was so big to them simply going to look like a sad commentary as to where they have gone as a program?
Well, and I was a little surprised at Bob Stoops in his rant, and he was all over the map, too. He didn't just take shots at Nick Saban in Alabama. He was taking shots at A&M, Texas A&M's non-conference schedule, well-deserved shots, I might add, and you know, the SEC's the reputation in general. But I was a little surprised for him to bring up, you know, they played for national championships, too. I'm not sure I would have gone there if I was Stoops, because they've lost a whole lot of national championship games. They've lost a couple of them to SEC teams, and they lost one of them to Nick Saban when he was at LSU back in at the end of the 2003 season. So there is that. That's another sign that Oklahoma has, while they've been a very good and consistently strong program, they have fallen short of the goals that they play for. Oklahoma doesn't start a season just wanting to win 10 games. They start a season thinking they want to win a national championship, because they have in their history. But it's been a while, and they've fallen short in that ultimate game a number of times now under Stoops. So, you know, that's he didn't really – I don't think he did himself any favors. And you know what he's also doing, Chris? And I haven't heard anyone really mention this. He is setting himself up. They are set up because of what happened in the Sugar Bowl for another great disappointment, because you see so many people picking them to win the Big 12, to be in the 14 playoff, maybe win the national championship. That quarterback may have had a Steven Garcia moment in the Sugar Bowl. he was out of his
right,
mind.
Put.
But I wonder if that will end up being the highlight of his college career, or if he can sustain it. If he can sustain it, more power to him, and you very well might see them in the 14 playoff.
Kevin Skarbinski joining us on Tide 99.1. Ben George does our website, does a great job with it. He talked end of last week and early this week about some of the things you've pointed out in a recent column as well. The neutral site games. His complaint somewhat, Kevin, while he agrees that with you that it would be great to be home and home from a fan's perspective with this, his biggest, I guess, issue was the fact that when we get through with this current cycle, after it was announced last week that Bama will open in, I guess, 2016 in Dallas against USC, that'll be five straight seasons in which Alabama has played either in Atlanta or Dallas to start the year, and would like to see it somewhere else. Are you strictly in the home and home camp on these big games, or would you be in favor of just seeing it somewhere else other than Big D or Atlanta?
Well, I like that thought also, and it sounds you know, petty to say, man, I'm tired of watching games in the Georgia Dome and Jerry World, but you know, there is a bit of an overload there, I think, and I like variety. One of the best parts of this job, and you would probably agree, in doing what you get to do, is the travel. And
absolutely,
it's seeing new places. I mean, this may sound crazy. I'm looking forward to going to Manhattan, Kansas for the Auburn-Kansas State game. I've never been there. I like to see new places and visit new stadiums and get on campuses to see games where I've never seen them. So, there's a little bit of, I think, Dallas and Atlanta fatigue in my thought process as well. But I also, and I've heard from more, it's interesting, I've heard from more and more fans in recent years who, while they do appreciate and they understand the value of the neutral site classic in Dallas and Atlanta and elsewhere, they also miss those marquee games on campus. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when schools actually did that on a fairly regular basis, and big name programs, you would have intersectional games, and you know, Alabama Penn State obviously is a classic example that we know well. around here and going to State College. You miss something if you don't go to places like State College or the L.A. Coliseum. I was fortunate to go out there when Auburn started the 2002 season in Los Angeles. I was fortunate to get to go to the Rose Bowl when Alabama opened the 2000 season with UCLA. You know, those are memorable trips. Now the games themselves weren't that memorable for either Alabama or Auburn when they went out to the West Coast in those years, but it's something special to get to do that. And then to see a USC run out of the tunnel in Bryant Denny, I mean, how special would that be? I saw USC when they came to Auburn in 2003, and again, Auburn probably doesn't want to remember the actual game itself, but that was a special evening to get to witness that. So for a lot of reasons, maybe it's my own nostalgia as a football fan, and maybe it's just self-interest on my part, you know, loving trips to different places. But yeah, I'd like to see Alabama and Auburn as well introduce some of those home and home. And here's a big question, Chris. And this is something nobody knows. Everyone is wondering what the committee is going to think. In terms of strength of schedule, how are they going to evaluate? Will a win over a USC in Dallas be more significant or equally as significant as a win over USC in Los Angeles or in Tuscaloosa? I don't know. No one knows. I guess we'll find out. But more and more schools that you notice are starting to do some of these home-and-homes. Georgia, Notre Dame, I guess, maybe the most prominent example.
You know, it was pointed out to me, somebody sent me a text after I was talking about that a little bit earlier in the show, Kevin. And I know this won't come as a surprise to you, that one of the major reasons Alabama does it in the way they do it is recruiting. And if I knew this, I had simply forgotten it. But it's one of those deals where if you are the home team, obviously both sides are getting exposure from playing in one of these neutral site games. I get that. So in that regard, it's big for recruiting. But if you're the home team, you are able to bring a recruit. You're able to bring recruits to the matchup. You can't do that if you're the visiting side. And the way things are working right now in that Atlanta-Dallas rotation, Bama gets to call the shots as to whether or not they're the home team. So what a shocking revelation. Nick Saban is using this as a recruiting advantage, playing games like this and basically perhaps in the locales that he is right now.
Let me do something that I've been known to do on occasion, Chris, and play contrarian on that point. Didn't Alabama sign what many people or some people thought was the number one high school player in America this past recruiting cycle in Deshaun Hand? I believe he's from Woodbridge, Virginia. I don't believe right. Alabama has played any games in the Woodbridge, Virginia area in recent years. And they're still able to sign guys like that. So my argument to that would be Nick Saban and Kirby Smart and company, they can sign guys in Alaska. They don't have to play in Alaska to do it.
Talking to Kevin Skarbinski from AL.com. Your thoughts on something that was kind of floated out last week when June Jones, and it's not completely new, but I guess when one of the coaches in those conferences brings it out, it tends to get more conversation. June Jones, SMU, says, look, we're not in the Big Five. We should go like the USFL, play in the spring. Your initial reaction to that?
My initial reaction is that June Jones is off his rocker. Are you serious? I mean, look, we all know there is a gap between the Power Five conferences and everybody else in Division One, or the Football Bowl subdivision, to use the proper name. Why accentuate it? Why just make it even more prominent that you can't measure up to these guys, at least financially? Now, certainly on the football field, we see it. You know, we see upsets all the time. We see a Sun Belt team might jump up and bite somebody. Even football championship subdivision teams, the classic Appy State over Michigan example, can sometimes beat one of the big boys. So they can compete at times on the field, but they can't compete financially, and you're not going to close that gap. But there are so many practical problems with that suggestion as well, besides the perception problem. What about bowl games? Yeah. If you're going to play your regular season in the spring to try to avoid getting overshadowed by the SEC and others, when are you going to play bowl games in May, June? I mean, it just makes no sense. I think I understand the motivation behind his thought, but for all kinds of reasons, it's probably one of those thoughts he should have kept in his head.
If you're a college football fan, especially at one of the Big Five schools. And you are, when I say a fan, you're the average fan who frankly doesn't buy a ticket and go to any games. You are simply building your weekend schedule and all of your viewing schedule around the next college football game. You probably love that. If you are an administrator, especially at one of those schools, you do hate it for the reasons you've pointed out and probably so many more that we haven't even thought of.
And then if you're just a sports fan, Chris, beyond just a football fan, are they going to go head-to-head with the NCAA basketball tournament for the entire month of March, maybe the first weekend or two in April? Are they going to go head-to-head on a weekend with the Masters? Guess what? You're going to lose those battles too, June. You're not drawing viewers away from Augusta and the Final Four and other things like that that happened in the spring. So, no, I think it's a ridiculous idea. But, hey, it got people talking about Judy Jones and SMU, so maybe there is truth to the old saying that there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Along those lines, last thing I'll let you run, Nick Marshall pays his fine. Is from a legal standpoint, everything seems to be done as far as that marijuana possession citation. What do you think ultimately Gus Malzahn will do from a public reprimand standpoint?
Well, that is true. It's not over. He has the last word in Nick Marshall's punishment / discipline. He's the word that coaches prefer over punishment. They like the word discipline. I think I've made it clear. I think you should suspend him for the Arkansas game. I think this is not. It may be his first offense at Auburn. He may have been a model student and teammate there, but there's a reason he's at Auburn, because he hasn't been a model student and teammate since he's been in college, or he wouldn't even be at Auburn. He'd still be playing defensive back in Georgia. So I think to send a signal, especially at a program, Chris, and I don't think we can lose sight of this, and I don't think it's piling on. Auburn went south in a hurry after 2010, and the reason they did, they had discipline problems within the team, and not all of them involved brushes with the law. I think to avoid that kind of repeat, I think to avoid going back down that road, I think it's imperative that Gus Malzahn make a strong statement about Nick Marshall, his best player, his most prominent player. There's no better way to do that than to sit him out for that first game. They've also had more than one guy cited for marijuana possession, and we can argue all day long about how serious or not serious that is these days, and the attitudes are changing clearly about marijuana. But he can make a very strong statement, and I think it's much needed in that program. Of course, he's the one who gets to make the statement. And I also want to add this before I run. I think it's imperative also not to wait till the day of the Arkansas game to try to keep Brett Bielema and his coaches guessing. I think that would be putting football ahead of life, and in this case, you got to put life ahead of football. You got to sit Nick Marshall, and you got to make that